Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is the Starship Sova. Everybody, welcome. Hello and welcome to a very special Oral Delight. It is not Oral Delight. It is the Sofanauts. What's happening, I hear you ask? Well, I'm on my holidays, actually, and I'm back for a couple of days. But the Sofanauts, if the other show that I do, is it's Worldcon. And we're having a few shows just to kind of celebrate Worldcon and just to get a feel for Worldcon. Got a couple of guests that are actually at Worldcon are coming on and, you know, having a chat about it. And I thought, why don't I put it on this Oral Delights one? Just to give everyone, you know, a taste of what's going to happen on the Sofanauts. And if you like this show, you'll come over and listen to the rest of the shows. So, it's Worldcon, it's anticipation, and it's a Worldcon. It's the 67th edition of Worldcon. And Amy H. Sturgis is over there, actually, for the full event. We've got John Joseph Adams there, who's, you know, the anthologizer, who's put out some great anthologies. He's going to come on. And we're just going to have, like, a few different shows over the weekend of this anticipation, this Worldcon, the 67th Worldcon edition. Now, I'm actually on holiday when it comes to the Sunday, which is the Hugos. I'm out of here. But hopefully we're going to get Kate Baker to do a little... Kate's arriving, I think, tomorrow. I actually might arrive today. And she's going to put two shows out. She's going to do one, which is just really sights and sounds and everything what's going on at this Worldcon. And then she's going to put another show out, which is actually the Hugo Award winners, which is, you know, she's going to announce the winners. She's not there for that show, but it'd be better for, she says it'd be better for her to do all this at her house and put a show out that kind of explains who's won what and what everything is going. So actually, I'll be able to listen to that one. So what you're about to hear is the show, the first show of this kind of Worldcon that's going to go out on the Sofanauts show. So I hope you enjoy it. If you do want to listen to more, pop over to the Sofanauts. We're going to have Amy back on tomorrow, John Joseph Adams, and like I say, then Kate's coming on and doing two shows. So tune in, enjoy it, and if not, well, I'll catch you in a couple of weeks' time with the next Oral Delights. Until then, I hope you enjoy this.
StarshipSofer.com presents The Sofanauts, made in glorious podcast-a-rama. We'll be bringing you highly intelligent beings expounding on all things sci-fi, loosely crammed onto one sofa by your host, Tony C. Smith.
I am Tony C. Smith. Joining me this day on a special day, this is the weekend of Anticipation Worldcon, the 67th Worldcon, Amy H. Sturgis, live from Worldcon. Amy.
Hi there, Tony. How are you?
Hey, how lucky are you?
I am feeling pretty lucky today, let me tell you. This is a great event, and I'm so excited to be here.
Well, what's going to plan today is we're going to get Amy on, and Amy's actually at the Worldcon, and she's going to give some insights into what's happening at Worldcon, because I've never been, and it's one of them shows you kind of you dream about, and then you kind of realise how, you know, especially over in England, how much a thing would cost to get over there. And it's just to ask Amy some questions on, you know, like sights and sounds and everything like that. And then Amy's kind enough, she's going to come back on tomorrow. And then we've got John Joseph Adams, the anthologist. He's going to come on tomorrow.
And then that's me finished. I'm out of there. And Kate Baker is going to kind of take over, and Kate's going to put a show together where I think she's landing there sometime today. And Kate's going to take like recordings and snippets and gossip and everything like that, make that a show. And then she comes home on Sunday, and Kate's going to do another show, because this is where the Worldcon, this is where the kind of the Hugos are dished out. Kate's going to do a little show and upload it straight away. We're announcing the winners and everything like that. So that is a few what's planned for the Sofa Notes today and tomorrow and the next couple of days. So fingers crossed it all works out, Amy, but it's so nice to have you on board now.
It's great to talk with you, Tony. Thanks for putting this together.
Oh, it's bloody no hassle, Maya. And it's actually what I was thinking, you know, when I asked you, then I asked you again to come on again. And I'm thinking, you know, you're kind of, this is the Worldcon. You don't want to really stuck in your bedroom, you know, talking to me when there's all this going on. What day did you arrive then, Amy? Or how long does this Worldcon last?
It goes on, it started on Thursday morning, and so I got here Wednesday night so I could start Thursday morning bright and early. So it's a 5-day event, and we're on day 2 at this point.
So are you there from, like, say, to the bitter end, shall I say?
I am there till the very last person leaves. I'm here for the whole thing.
And I'm right in thinking you're actually on a couple of the panels as well, is that right?
Yes, I'm on 3 panels, and I'm also giving an academic talk that's separate. There's different tracks of programming, and so I'm giving, I'm on 1 panel in the media track, I'm on 2 panels in the literature track, and then I'm giving a presentation in the academic track.
Well, we'll hopefully get all of them tomorrow as well, when you come back on, everything works out, we get you back tomorrow. But what I'm fascinating though, is if you could just describe, you know, kind of say your build up the Worldcon, but getting there, and, you know, are you on in the kind of the hotel which is next to Worldcon? Have you got a travel distance? I just want the kind of sights and sounds of what it was like for you to get into Worldcon.
I'm in the hotel directly across from the Palais de Congrès, which is the building in which most of the programmed events are being held. There's also another hotel on the other side, which is where the official parties are being held, the parties sponsored by different cons or different organizations that are, you know, wanting to have publicity and wanting to host different events. And so there are some events being held in that party hotel, but otherwise all of the major programming from 9 in the morning until about 11 o'clock at night are being held in this one convention center. And I'm looking out my window at it right now.
So, you know, did they ask you to do these like panels? Am I right in thinking that?
Actually, I heard about I've heard about Worldcon for years and years, of course, with the Hugos, but I was talking with a friend of mine who's M. Buckner. She's actually a Philip K. Dick award-winning author, and she said, you really need to tell them the kind of work you're doing and see if they'd be interested in have you speaking. And so it was her suggestion, for which I'm very grateful, that led me to go and contact the programmers and say, you know, I'm working on this project, I'd be interested in talking. And so then they said, yes, we'd like to have you, and would you be interested on doing panels? And I submitted, you know, the kinds of things I was interested in, and then they're the ones who invited me to be on the panels. I contacted them first about the academic talk, so it was a little bit of both, but I feel really, you know, privileged to be here and to get to be a part of so many things. They've even got me signed up for a slot for giving autographs. So, you know, if my mother were here, I would know at least one person would be asking for autographs. But I haven't seen any of my books in the.
You know what I was kind of.
So I think there's probably not going to be a rush.
Hey, you never know, Em. You never know. You know what I'm interested to find out, though, is, Em, is there a kind of, like I say, when I went, I was just going off the one kind of science fiction convention that I've been to, and that's the French one. There was like a private bar where you could kind of meet up with people and everything like that, and, you know, away from the crowds. Have you got that? Is that facility there?
Yes. They call it the Green Room because the program participants all have a green ribbon on their their identification tags. And so if you've got a green ribbon, you get into the green room. So there's a nice little food bar set up and drinks and lots of tables. And in fact, you may remember the last Sofanauts I was on, you asked me for my pick of the week, and I mentioned The Inferior by Padraig Gilling as a book that I just read and just loved. Yesterday, the first time I went into the green room, there he sat. So I got to sit down and talk with him about the book and tell him how much I enjoyed it and get to sit and visit for a while. So it was really lovely.
That's what I liked about, you know, the kind of the convention I went to. Is it was actually more, you know, the kind of the behind the stage where you get to kind of meet these people. And just like you see it, it's just like you and me, really, you know what I mean? They're nothing iconic stars. But it's just, you know, that you get across the table and just chat with them. And that's where I think all the kind of the goodness comes out of, like, a convention, is the kind of contacts you make and the things that lead on from there.
Exactly. It's just the beginning of a conversation. It's what comes afterwards that's so rewarding. And as you said, the contacts that you get to make. So, it's a great service that they provide for their participants to have that there.
I mean, at the moment, you've only been, like I say, did you say your second day there, is it?
Yes.
What's it holding up like then? Are you seeing any kind of flaws in the programming and or anything? You know, can you see writers running backwards and forwards, being double book places, or is things going smoothly at the minute?
I'm really impressed. It's a very well-run con. This is my 12th convention, if you don't count conventions that I've been to several years in a row. I've been to some multiple times, but there's a lot of people. I think they're expecting a total of 4,000 or so, and it's running beautifully. The only hiccup I've seen was they printed, just for convenience, a little one-day program that, you know, you could just at a glance see everything there, which is quite a tall order, because there are so many things going on simultaneously. The short version of the program is 102 pages, so you get the idea. And so they printed a little one-page thing, and it turned out that all the times were off by half an hour or something like that. But they caught it immediately and, you know, put up signs and had an alternate corrected version. And so I really am impressed by how well the whole thing is run. Now, and they really seem to have their act together.
You know, I'm just looking at the kind of the guest of honors there. And like you say, there must be loads of other people there. But if you could, do you know who all the guest of honors are? Because there's only Neil Gaiman and I think you pronounce his name, Tom Doherty, the kind of publisher. David Hartwell, he rings a bell, but it's nothing that I'm kind of struck on. But I don't know anybody else. And I'm just thinking, for Worldcon, you know, I thought you were, I mean, they've got the likes of Charlie Stross and Corey Docotro there, but I don't know any of these other, you know, Elizabeth Vonnerberg, is that right? I've never heard of her.
Right.
Do you know, well, just explain, if you could kind of just explain who all them are.
Oh, yes. One of the things about being in Quebec is that they're focusing on the fact that, of course, Quebec is a bilingual place, and French is the primary language. And so they have an author guest of honor in English and an author guest of honor in French. And so Neil Gaiman is the English one. I'm looking for my list here, and I can't find it.
I've got mine on my screen. It's Elizabeth Vonnerberg or something?
Oh, yes, no. And she's the French fiction guest of honor. So they're kind of back and forth with that. In fact, they've got a really nice French science fiction literature section in the dealer's rooms. But that's why there are two like that. But the main, and David Hartwell is the editor, the award-winning editor. But the who's who list is pretty remarkable in terms of the other authors here. Like you said, Cory Doctorow and Connie Willis and Robert J. Sawyer and just a number of people that you go from panel to panel, and one moment they're on the stage and the next moment they're sitting next to you taking notes about what someone else is saying. But for example, I went to a panel yesterday evening that was just a who's who of people with David Hartwell and Joe Walton and Patrick Nielsen Hayden and Harriet McDougall, and it was just a remarkable group of people. But as you point out, there's only two main guests of honor, and then the rest of them are all just other program participants.
So, Aim, so imagine all the listeners now, close your eyes. If you can just describe what it's like to walk into Worldcon, what are your first glimpse when you kind of walk through the doors? Are you just hit with just a multitude of science fiction things, or...?
Well, it's a huge facility, and so the first floor is actually like a metro terminal. So there's a bunch of restaurants, and we're just sitting on the corner of Chinatown here in Montreal. So there's some great Chinese takeout places. I've had just absolutely fantastic coconut curry that I'm probably going to have every day that I'm here. But anyway, so you have to get to the second floor to get to the con itself. And once you're there, it just opens up and you immediately know where you are. There are all of these lines of sort of prefabricated walls that they have set up that are nothing but message boards to put flyers, notices for parties, things like that. So you automatically see all these fans and readers and authors and artists and scholars connecting in one way or another. They even have a voodoo message board where you can stick a pin in the name of the person you want to talk to, and it's an elaborate way of getting messages back and forth to people. And then there's the registration area, and it's different than any con that I've been to, just in the sheer variety of people and obvious, you know, internationality of the attendees. It's just lovely to see people from literally all over the globe together. And right behind that is the dealer's room, and it opens up, and you're hit with tons of literature, because it's definitely a literary convention, first and foremost. So a lot of publishers and press representatives there with different books. And the book signings that are going on continually throughout the con are set up right there. So at any given half hour, there's five or six big names there signing their works. I'm hoping to see Guy Gavriel Kay today, and Nalo Hopkinson's there, and just some really interesting folks.
Did you go there yesterday? Was there big writers there? I was just wondering who was pulling the biggest crowd.
Actually, Neil Gaiman is pulling the biggest crowd. Definitely.
And have you not spoke to him, but what's he seem like? Is he kind of very aloof, or does he seem very down to earth and mixing? And
he's very, very personable. I met him before at MythCon when he was the guest of honor there, and that was a very small con, a very intimate con, and he was eating dinner with people and talks, of course, is a much larger scale, but he's very personable, very approachable, and just entertaining no matter what he's doing. He impresses me because you know that he's booked solid this entire 5-day period. He's just running from one thing to the next, but he's very present every time he's at a panel. He's listening intently to what the other panelists are saying, and then, you know, telling great stories. He had a great story about the late John M. Ford yesterday at the panel about him, who I'm a fan of. So I like to hear them, his friends and his colleagues and publishers tell good stories. And he had a great story about Ford yesterday that just cracked everybody up. So it was, he's very approachable, and he's also generous. So, you know, you can tell some of the younger fans are here, particularly just to see him. And, he takes his time with them. It's very nice to see.
So do you think he's there for, like you say, you're saying, anticipation, it is like a kind of a literature side, but, you know, Gaiman's known for his Sandman comics as well. Is there a lot of people there in kind of from the comic side of things? Is that represented at anticipation?
Oh, yes. And in fact, I believe there's a panel talking about his comics. And he's also going to be having a screening of his Coraline film and introducing that. So they're definitely exploiting the fact that he's sort of a multimedia artist.
I bet there's they've got him booked solid, you know, and you can understand why. So there's not going to be that many times when you see him in the green room, so you can just go and have a little drink with him. Do you know what I mean? I bet there's everyone's fucking around, and you know what I mean? Because I always remember in this French one, you know, it was William Gibson, and he was kind of, you couldn't get near the guy because of all, you know, he's got to do this and he's got to do it. And they wouldn't let you, you know, kind of the staff of the convention wouldn't let you even get near him to kind of to get to know the guy, you know, so.
Oh, well, I know that he's running from one thing to another, but he strikes me as someone that would be very approachable. And he was when I got to talk with him at MythCon. So hopefully there'll be a chance. But I know this is also a bit like a school reunion for a lot of these folks, because the authors are getting to talk to their editors, and you know, mentor authors are getting to talk to up and coming authors, and it's a bit like, well, in fact, I was talking to a lady yesterday who's an editor who's getting to meet an author she's been working with for quite a while, but never actually met face to face. And so she's looking forward to tracking him down and saying, hey, I'm the person who's been corresponding with you for so long. So it's also nice to see people connecting with people they already know but haven't had the chance to just sit down and chat with.
So, Amy, this is a big question then. Yeah, because we know you kind of, you've got some books going out and you've got a book coming out as well. Is this a place where you can kind of sell the wares of Amy H. Sturgis, or are you not? Are you just going there really to kind of enjoy yourself and not really try and snag some sales or some, you know, future publishing deals?
I'm here, honestly, more to enjoy myself, but I did notice that my publisher for the upcoming Intersection of Fantasy Native America has a big flyer up in the in the dealer's room. It's not available yet, but it will be in just a few weeks, and so I sort of did the fist pump of happiness there.
What, a flyer for your book, was it?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Fun. Take the poster down, William, and keep it. Forget everybody else. Just keep that. You know what you're saying? It's like it's all to do with, you know, kind of the literature side. Is there, you know what I mean, the Klingons walking around and the people with the funny hats, you know, dressed up as, is all that going on as well? Because that's what I'm not into. Do you know what I mean? I can't really get away with Klingons and all this fancy dress side of things.
Well, they have a special evening where they set aside, I believe it's Saturday night, where they have a big costume event. So most of the costuming, the full, you know, head to toe costuming will happen then. But you can see little subtle things. For example, I've seen several little plushy Cthulhu, either hats or hand puppets or, you know, slippers. Sort of people showing their Lovecraft, either role playing game or literature or film or whatever, their Lovecraft side there. You can see little things like that. I've seen lots of t-shirts, you know, referencing different kinds of fandom. But I think the costume event Saturday night is where the full head-to-toe dress will come out. There's a lot of crossover with those kinds of things. I mean, you have some of the literary authors here who've also, for example, written Star Trek books. And so there's definitely a media side here. And there's also an entire track of programming for young people, and so they're all about the, you know, the vampires and the films and that sort of thing. So there's, you know, the Twilight and Harry Potter contingency is also represented here. There's a little bit of everything, but what's so nice is they have the track so well defined that you sort of go in where you're interested, and if you're you know, a costumer, you go into the costuming track or the filk section, and you can sort of make
stay
that
there.
Your entire world con. Exactly.
Keep them in there.
No, let them out and mingle every so often. But it's nice there's a little something for everyone.
What time, just for, you know, again, forward to kind of picture, what time does it kick off on a morning, and what time does it actually, because surely they must kick you out at a certain time, you know, if it's just held in that room or that building.
The programming starts at 9, and I'm checking here. I think it must end, tomorrow night. I am on a panel at 10 o'clock. It starts at 10 o'clock.
Right.
And anyone who knows me knows, you know, I was born an old fogey. I'm up at 5:30 or 6 in the morning, but 10 o'clock for my brain to still be working is a little bit of a challenge. I think 10 o'clock, 10 or 11 is the latest scheduled programming, but then they just move it, the official parties and such kick off at the party hotel. But most of the programming goes, yes, it goes between 9 and 11, 9 in the morning to 11 in the evening, and it's pretty much straight. So people grab their food on the run and grab their drinks on the run, and they just head to the next thing. Yesterday I was going just the entire time. And once I kick off, after I talk to you, I'm going to be going to a panel with actually Neil Gaiman and Cory Doctorow. And then it's pretty much straight programming for me through till about 9. I'm because my evening's wrapping up with the Sideways Awards for alternate history, and then the Prometheus Awards for libertarian science fiction this evening. So it's pretty much a straight shot. There's no break time or nap hour. Although,
am I right in thinking then what you're just saying is, are you on panels all the way through, or are you going to see panels all the way through until?
Oh. I'm going to see panels all the way through. Tomorrow, my programming starts. I have an autograph session and a panel, and then I'll have a panel and my lecture on Sunday. Actually, I'm on a panel Sunday, then immediately I give my talk, and then immediately go to the Hugo Awards. So so that'll be – I'll be pretty wired after all of that. But yeah, it's just things that I've marked out that I wanted to do today, between panels and signings that I want to go to, and programming. It's pretty much straight this afternoon. My wish list of things I want to attend.
What's on your wish list? Have you got, like, say, authors you want to go up and buy their book and get it signed by them? Is it as good as that, or?
Oh yes, actually, there's only one book I bought. The rest I lugged with me all the way from the States. So the people in customs loved me. But I got the Distant Early Warnings collection, which is Canada's best science fiction, which isn't even out yet.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You have to buy it here, although it will be out, but it's edited by Robert J. Sawyer. And I went ahead and got a copy of that because I thought, hey, I'm in Montreal, Quebec, and this is perfect timing. Here's Canada's best science fiction. So I'll probably have Robert J. Sawyer sign that if he would. But the person I'm most looking forward to going up to and meeting today, I'm going to go stop and say hi to the Sofanauts friend, John Joseph Adams, today as well. But I'm really looking forward to meeting Guy Gavriel Kay. He's not only an award-winning fantasy author, but he was, before he really came into his own as an author, he worked with Christopher Tolkien in putting together J.R.R. Tolkien's Silmarillion. And so he's sort of a double hero to me. So I brought the first book of his first series that I have, I already owned, and I'm going to go up and say hi to him and have my fangirl moment.
You're more than welcome to it. More than welcome to it. Is, I tell you, because I'm writing, well, I'm actually nearly finished it there now. I'm listening on my iPod, on my little kind of doodab, to, is George R.R. Martin there?
Yes, I went to a panel of his yesterday.
Right, because I'm really liking that. You know, it's this something of Thrones. I can't even remember what it's called. The big thing he's been, you know, he's wrote.
Right.
And I'm like, see, it's been a while since I've kind of dipped my toes in fantasy, but then all of a sudden, you know, like you listen to it and I'm off and I'm away with this one every minute of the day, you know. And I've just seen pictures of the guy and he seems like a little fella with a little hat on, you know.
That's exactly, and a beard.
Yes.
A hat and a beard.
So he's there as well, is he? Is he giving talks, yes, and things like that? Or is he just there as a fan himself?
He was on a panel yesterday. I think he's got some programming. He's on a couple more panels, and he's also doing a signing. And he was a hoot yesterday. It was great fun listening to him. I went to a panel that was called Werewolves of Brigadoon, which was actually right up your alley, about how authors who aren't in the UK kind of latch onto a sort of mythic Celtic past and use it in science fiction and fantasy, even though they don't really know what they're talking about. And so a question of, you know, cultural appropriation and what's authentic and who has the right to tell these stories and such. And he put things in perspective really well. And as we were getting the audience and the panelists were sort of coming to a point of discussion, you know, dividing things ever more carefully, who owns this and who has the right to talk about this. And he just said, you know, he grew up reading old classic science fiction, and when it described people, it didn't describe them by their nationality or their ethnicity or where they lived or how they worshipped or whatever. It described everyone as other earthlings, and he'd like to kind of just pull things back and say, in the end, we're earthlings, and got a whole spontaneous burst of applause for that. But he had a great way of sort of cutting through a lot of the rhetoric and just saying, and he was just great fun to have on the panel and get to listen to. So I hope I get to catch him again sometime during the programming in the next few days.
It's funny, I had read a couple of, is it Stephen Lawhead? Now, I take it he's American, and he was writing this kind of Celtic and all, you know.
Right, he has a whole Arthurian series.
Yes, I've read a few of him. A long, long time ago, you understand. I'm saying as if it's a dirty habit. Oh, a long, long time ago, you know. So am I right in thinking then, Aim, you're going to be there for the actual Hugo Awards?
I will be.
So describe it. Is the Hugo Awards, is it just like every, like an award you see on television, a big auditorium, and then, you know, you get your name called out, you've won an award, and you take it up, on you get up on the stage? Is that how it works?
That's what I assume. I've seen videos of it before, and that's what it looked like. I've seen the room that we're going to be in, and it's just a big conference room with you know, metal and cushioned chairs set up. And basically, the way the conference hall is set up, it's a huge, huge facility, and we're taking two floors of it. The rooms have these walls that can be, you know, taken up or brought down. And so they're basically pulling out all the stops because they're expecting everyone to be there. So there'll be, you know, 4,000 people in a room. And they'll just organize the chairs, and some people will be coming straight from panels, and some people will be going to programming immediately after it. So it's not like you take the whole evening and just do the Hugos. But everything else stops, and everybody goes and sees who wins. And I've been, you know, I've got my little favorites that I'm sort of rooting for, but it's exciting to vote on something and then get to be there when it comes together like that.
Are you
particularly?
Sorry, I was going to say, are you guaranteed a seat, Ian, or is it just like first come, first serve, and get out the bloody way? This is my seat, or are you all got a number?
No. No, we don't. The seats aren't numbered, and they suggested everybody should get there about a half an hour early because and the last panels pretty much kick off there so that everybody can, if they wish, come. But just because that's a lot of people to seat, and so if they open the doors 5 minutes ahead of time, they'll just there's no way that they could be organized in time. So I'm just going to be walking in there with everybody else.
Does anticipation stop for the Hugos? Is that like a really important thing, or are some people, like you say, that the comic makers and the kind of fancy dress, are they still kicking around, or is the Hugos it? It's quiet, like it's like the bits of grass blowing by other places. Everyone's in this hall.
I'm not quite sure. Let me check. I'm looking here at my at my program. I know there's a lot of media also going on with the Hugos. I mean, it includes film and everything else. So it's not just the literature, although of course the literature is front and center. But let me see here. Looking at Sunday evening.
Very quiet.
Okay, there's the Hugo ceremony. There are things actually scheduled against it.
Right.
There's yes, stage makeup, techniques for costumers, and cross genre hard science fiction. The movie night is going on for kids. There's a bedtime stories panel. But there's significantly less programming against it than there is at any other given time. But there are some panels, and then all the panels kick back up an hour later. So you're back to full programming after that. I'm hoping to get to the zombie panel afterwards. But we'll see if I'm a zombie by that point in the evening.
Well, it's funny. It's on the actual Sunday, and this is where I'm out of here now on Sunday, where we're camping in Bath, and Kate's going to hopefully put together two shows. One of like I said before, a little snippets of what she's picked up throughout a kind of two. I think she's there for 2 days, and then the kind of Hugo Award. She's going to put up a little one, telling everyone who's won what and who's done what. Yeah, and I know I haven't read hardly any of these, but we'll just say, we'll pick a few sections. Best novel. Now, you got Anathem, Neil Stevenson, Graveyard Book, Neil Gaiman, Little Brother, Cory Doctorow, Saturn's Children, Charlie Stross, Jordan Scalzi's Zoe's Tale. Now, out of them, which one do you think is going to win, and which one would you like to win?
Well, I'm not going to make any predictions because I'm really lousy at that. I was really excited. I think this is the first time this has happened. Three of the five are considered young adult novels. Of course, Graveyard Book and Little Brother were marketed as such, and John Scalzi said Zoe's Tale, for all intents and purposes, is one as well. And certainly the protagonist is young adult. I think that's interesting, and it shows a shift in thinking and such. And to be honest, I think the Graveyard book is just fantastic. I'm going to be teaching that this fall in one of my university courses. I just love it. And I know I love a lot of what Gaiman writes, but I think this is particularly a very, very fine novel. So I'm rooting for that, although Little Brother is near and dear to my heart. But I think Cory Doctorow still has an older generation that doesn't really buy into some of his thoughts on copyright and his thoughts on promotion and marketing, and I'm not quite sure if they're ready yet to give him a Hugo. I'd love to see him win. I would consider it to be an especially good night if either of those books wins. But yeah.
Well, I would love Little Brother. Do you know what I mean? I haven't read Graveyard Book, but Little Brother, I listened to the audio again, and it was just fantastic.
Excellent book.
I've got this sneaky feeling, though, the one I bloody don't want to win is Anathem. Do you know what I mean? And I've got this, They'll think, they'll give it because it was very deep and very meaningful, and please. I would like Charlie Stross to get it. You know what I mean? I haven't read Saturn's Children, but I would like him to get it because He's been there. It must be costing him a fortune in flights every bloody year. He's got to fly out there. Is Neil Stevenson kicking around there? Is he, or?
Let me check. I have not seen him yet. But that doesn't mean anything because anything that I've gone to has had 15 things against it. So, I do not know. He is not here. At least he's not participating in the programming. He may be here, you know, undercover on the down low under the radar, but he's not a part of the.
I wonder if he's not there and he wins. You know, he sends somebody else up for it. I don't like that at all.
We'll just have to make sure that won't happen.
Yes, I mean, fingers crossed for little brother. Which one then do you want? You were good. Give us a good answer there. You didn't give us an answer. One book.
I would go for Gaiman this year, but it was a very hard decision for me because I little brother was right underneath. But of the two, I think in the end, Graveyard Book is going to hold up longer. But I do really love Little Brother. The two of those were head and shoulders for me above. But I'd go for the Graveyard Book. I'm going to have to
go and get that Graveyard Book as well. So everyone says it's excellent. I haven't, you know, I don't know why I haven't gotten this one, you know, because I there's a few books I've read by Gaiman, and you see that I think it was American Gods was just awesome. So
exceptional. Mm-hmm. I love that book. And if I know you like audiobooks, his reading of the Graveyard Book is just fantastic.
Yeah, you've sold it to us. I'm going to go and get it.
Excellent.
I tell you what, go on, sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I also want to give a shout out that I have real hopes that in the best dramatic presentation short form that Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog takes the award. I've got a lot of love for that, even though I really like several of the other things in the category a great deal. But that was a trend-making, you know, path-breaking work, and I'm really cheering that one on. So if Kate picks up a squeal coming from the ceremony, you know, it may be because I was very excited that Dr. Horrible sing-along blog won.
What is best dramatic presentation short form? Is this like a short, like, film or?
Dr. Horrible sing-along blog is a short film. It was originally put online in 15-minute segments and as a whole is a 45-minute long work. But the rest of the nominees are all episodes from television series.
Oh, yes, I've got it. Yes, I've got it there now. Yes. Doctor Who's in there and
right. Battlestar. And Lost.
Yes.
So, and yes, some very, very good episodes. I can understand why, you know, Stephen Moffat and Russell T. Davies and all are in that. But I'm pulling for Dr. Horrible. I've got several folks there that I'm rooting for. I'm also hoping that Alan F. Beck takes it for best fan artist. I'm a big fan of his, but it'll be interesting to see. Be there at the moment.
I mean, I wish I'm probably Wednesday, Sunday night. I'll be somewhere down Bath, but hopefully my little phone will be able to pick up. I'll be able to get some sort of who's won that, because when you think that there's all the big ones here as well, not big, but big ones to see a Starship Sofa, because this is where we've got the John W. Campbell Award for Best Writer, and this is Gord Sellers up there as well, you know, so.
Right, absolutely.
He's up against, and I haven't, Elliot DeBoard, I don't know who, DeBoard, David Anthony Durham, Felix Gilman, Tony Pye, Gord Seller. So I don't know, I can't really say anything apart from I want Gord Seller to win, you know.
Right. You've got your loyalty there.
Oh, yes. the only guy I've read. I tell you, jumping into then, the best short story then, Ian. We've got 26 Monkeys, Kish Johnson, Articles of Faith, Mike Resnick, Evil Robot Monkey, Mary Robinette Quowell, Exhalation, Ted Chiang, and From Babel's Fall and Glory, We Fled, Michael Swanick. Now, there's a couple of them I haven't read, the Mike Resnick one and the Michael Swanick one. I've actually bet with it's Jeremy Talbot, you know, on the Sofa Notes. I've went for, and this is me just trying to be clever and arty, 26 Monkeys. And Jeremy's went for exhalation. Now, what's your little snippet pick?
I don't want to jinx anyone. I was so sure that Ted Chiang was going to win. Not this year when he did, but the year before for the British Science Fiction Award.
And, oh, no.
And that he didn't. I was so horrified. So I don't want to jinx anybody. But I do love that story. I also like Swanwick's quite a bit. And Evil Robot Monkey has a lot of buzz about it. So
Amy, you're waffling. Which one?
I'm waffling.
pick you. You're trying to be nice to every writer.
I'll be honest with you. I'll be very honest with you. I didn't vote in this category.
Did you not?
Because it was very, very close to for me. So it was so close that I didn't pick one.
You're not going to tell us, are you not?
I'm not. I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you, Tony. There's a couple of I did vote in because it seemed very close to me. Or wait a minute. No, I'm confusing things. That was novella that I didn't vote on. I voted on this one. We'll see if Ted Chiang can do it.
Who did you vote for?
I vote Ted Chiang.
Right. Well, you're with Jeremy. Because I went with 26 Monkeys because it was up for a few of them. Do you know what I was thinking?
It's a very good story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But, like you say, I don't know if I've just kind of shot myself in the foot. Like you say, Ted Chiang. Because these are, am I right in thinking now, these are like fan awards. Is that right? How the best way to describe it? You know, it's
If you're a member of the World Science Fiction Convention,
yes.
There's two kinds of memberships. You can be a supporting member or you can be an attending member. So you don't actually physically have to be here, but you have to sort of buy in with your support. You can vote. So that's different from, for example, awards where you have to be a member of, you know, an author's group or a writer's association or that sort of thing. So it's considered to be fan insofar as you've kind of put your money where your mouth is, and a great number of the people actually physically show up to Worldcon for it. So they're active in one way or another, supporting or attending.
I mean, this is the
I'm jumping
over you there. This is the one as well where Clark's World Best Semi-Prozine Magazine, you know, the stories surrounding Neil Clark
right.
with the Clark's World, you know, and keep it going, don't, you know, keep the semi-prozine going. And Clark's World's in there, Locus is in there, Interzone's in there, the New York Review of Science Fiction's in there, and Weird Tales. So it'd be nice to actually, you know, because Locus wins it, I don't know what they've done, they've won it for the last 3,000 years, you know what I mean? So,
right.
I don't know, I'm probably guessing they're going to win it again, but then I was just thinking, oh, I wonder if they will, because of all this kind of controversy. I wonder if other people think, well, I'll tell you what, we'll just, you know, we'll try somebody else. So it'd be nice to kind of find out that one as well. So
there's a generational thing going on there too in that one, in the sense that you have some really old school publications, and then you have some that are very much embracing the new media and such. So, for example, Weird Tales is, although it's an old and, you know, venerable title, it's definitely infused with a young mentality in terms of the way it publishes and the way it promotes itself versus something, you know, like Locus, although Locus certainly has a web presence, but even the New York Review of Science Fiction, which isn't online in any form or fashion. And I love that publication. It's pretty much the only thing I always read cover to cover every month. But it's an older or at least a more traditional, let me put it that way, a more traditional mindset in terms of publishing. So there's a generational thing happening in that in that category too, I think, that'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Well, Ian, I'm keeping you here now, so I'll tell you what, we'll round up tonight, or tonight's show. What's, just to end on things, what would you kind of, someone who hasn't been before, could you recommend going to a Worldcon? What would you expect to find there? What, you know, can you give any kind of inspiration to people, you know, take the leap and come to one of these Worldcons?
Definitely. There's something for everyone with all of the different tracks that are here. You could wander for a very long time just out among people. Everywhere you see this huge convention area, and all of these things going on simultaneously. Plus, you've got the dealer's room, and you have some great historical exhibits of the old awards given out, and a whole gallery of portraits of classic science fiction authors, many of whom are not with us any longer. A real sense of history. There, in fact, there's a great area that's set up with nothing but newspaper articles from, you know, mundane publications covering old world cons. And it says how the outsider's view was, right? So you have these, for years from the 50s and the 60s, these newspaper articles covering Worldcon and trying to explain to non-science fiction folk what's happening when all of these people descend on their city. There's such a fun sense that you're part of something that has this long tradition. You know, this is the 67th year it's happening. And despite the fact there's all these things to do, the neatest thing is to see everywhere you can sit down, all of the tables and chairs and windowsills and, you know, places where people can lean against walls, they're filled with people just standing and talking in animated ways. And it's great because you come in and you realize that you already have a common language with everyone else here. You already have all of these things you share in common. It may not be your language, it may not be your skin color, it may not be your age, but you already know that you share a common view of the future and a common interest in speculative things. And so even though the room might be full of strangers, yet you're still in a room of friends, and you can instantly sit down and start a conversation with someone and not need to know their name or their country or their background. And you know that that you've, you know, got someone to talk to about things that you both think are important. And I can't think of anything, you know, more inspirational than seeing, particularly in today's world,
I mean, that's
a lot of people come together that way.
That's a good point you've made there, because, you know, my friends, you know, are the kind of friends who I'm kind of knocking around with, wouldn't really, are not really into science fiction. Have you just gone there by yourself and kind of walked in, and or are you there with people, or?
No, my dear husband is home, holding down the fort and the Boston Terrier. And so I'm here. There are people here I know. I've go to a lot of regional cons in the U.S., and I've been to two cons in Canada. And so I'm seeing a lot of familiar faces, people I know and I can already, you know, go up to and just catch up where we left off. But I also feel very comfortable just, you know, walking up to people. A lot of these people, if I don't know them personally, I know them by reputation. I know their faces and I know who they are. And so I just, you know, I can go up and talk to them. But even if they're complete strangers, it's very easy to you know, strike up a conversation. So even if someone's alone and, you know, doesn't particularly know anybody, you're not a stranger for very long in a place like this. People won't let you be. If you want to visit with people, you know, you've got thousands to choose from. So it's a very welcoming place, and it's just nice to see people, you know, coming together like that and having conversations. Some great panels I went to yesterday, and some really great conversations I look forward to being a part of today. It's very productive, and it's intellectually stimulating, and it's also just downright, you know, exciting in a fanish kind of way, as well as a good literary, rigorous sort of way. So however you experience your science fiction, you know, if you're interested in film or comics or literature or television or, you know, collecting Star Trek t-shirts, there's an entire section of them over there in the dealer's room. You know, they'll find something. I would definitely recommend this sort of experience to anyone who loves this community.
Well, there you go. If you're just sitting at home there now, walking a dog, have a little think about going over to the next one. Ian, are you going to come on tomorrow, if that's okay?
I will. I'll be caffeinated and probably even more sleep deprived than I am now, but I look forward to talking to you.
Oh, that'll be lovely. If you can just keep out any sights and sounds, you know, any panels that kind of strike you, just keep a little mental note of it, and we'll have a lovely chat tomorrow if that's possible.
Excellent.
Marvellous. Well, look, take care of yourself. Don't get a, you know, don't go and marry some Klingon there. Just, you know what I mean? Look after yourself, and I will speak to you tomorrow.
Sounds great. Thank you very much, Tony.
Take good care, Ian.
we say goodbye to this week's intrepid crew. Join us next time as we probe Saturn's ring and delve into Uranus for a fresh batch of Sophronauts.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.